So, Lord, we thank you once again, and we bless you for this time together, this time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you for the love that's in this place. Thank you for us being many members but one body in this place, Lord. What a beautiful thing it is to see, Lord, when it says what the blessing that you add when brother and sister come together, Lord, in fellowship, Lord. And we just thank you. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your blessing upon our assembly here this morning, Lord. Bless your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Without your word, Lord, how would we know what to do, where to go, what to say, how to live, how to love, how to forgive, how to be thankful, Lord? Your word says in all things to give thanks. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we say thank you. And we bless you and we love you on today, Lord. We're so grateful. Speak to us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, take a look at Colossians 3 and 15. So we'll start there and then we'll go ahead and go back over to Corinthians. Want to thank you all for Tracy and I want to thank you all for the birthday for the anniversary. I don't even know what it was. Anniversary is something that special day we just had. Thank you, Sister Roy, for the special day we had and the love that was shown. And it's good to be back. And it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Ain't that something? Lord, help us to allow the peace. And we talked about that last week. What ruled your heart last week? That's the question. What ruled your heart? We're talking about the new versus the old. We're talking about the new man, the new woman. Did the new man rule or did the old man rule? Did the new woman rule or did the old woman rule your heart last week? How about last night? How about this morning? If you can't think back that far like me, don't ask me about last week. 10 years ago, I can remember, but don't ask me what happened yesterday, okay? But this morning, did the peace of God rule in your heart? What ruled your heart last week? Amen? It's just something we have to practice. Paul said we have to participate in our own spiritual growth. You have to be an active participant. It takes effort. You can redirect your energies and your efforts to allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. You can do it. Remember Philippians 4:13. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. You and I, we can live this thing. For our visitors, we have been allowing the Proverbs this year to replace the horoscope, the fortune cookie, and the lottery tickets. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. We're trying to replace all three of those with the Proverbs. If you read Proverbs 24, it says, through wisdom is a house built, and through understanding it is established. So that's Proverbs 24 and 3. If you haven't read it, make sure you get a chance to read it. Read it this morning. I challenged you all last week to read 1 Corinthians 13 on what love is and what love isn't. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, too. I hope you took the challenge, you know, because we're challenged to love every day. So that's why we need to read that every day. If you wouldn't be challenged to love somebody who might not be acting lovable or who quite possibly could be unlovable, you need to know how to love. Again, you might be the person that's not quite lovable and you want others to show love to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I challenge us to read. I tell you, God spoke incredibly through 1 Corinthians 13 on what love is and what love isn't. So we'll talk about all those things today. So we got stuck where it says, to which also you are called in one body. So that's where we left off last week. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. So we are one body. We are many members, but we are one body. And we found out last week that we all are very significant. It's no little I's and big U's in our big U and little I's. None of that. In the kingdom of God. Why? Look at when you get to 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, say amen. And verse 18 tells us why. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. All right. Now, this is a comparison. This is an analogy of us being members, just like your body has many members. In verse 18, it's actually talking about the body. It's saying God has put your fingers, your toes, your ears, your eyes, your nose. God has put them in every place so they can function properly as it has pleased him. Amen. He didn't give you three eyes and four noses. He didn't do that. Because you would look weird. But if we all had it, I guess we'd look normal. But that's not the way God set it up. He didn't allow your legs to be your arms. That's just the way he set it up. So God says he set your body up, set you up to please him. So be comfortable with who you are. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try and work out and eat right. I'm not saying that. Pastor ain't gave you permission to go and get all out of shape and all that. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the augmentations and the Botox and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you need all that. Because God has set you up the way that you are because it's pleased him to set you up the way that you are. Make a note, read Psalms 139, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Corinthians 6:19, how your body is not your own. It belongs to God. Why? Because God set it up. You shouldn't try and have surgery to replace your arms and your legs. You don't like where your arms are, so you're going to put them where your legs should be. God set them up the way they are. You shouldn't be trying to change anything and move anything from here to there or move it around. Amen. As a child of God. Now, if you out serving something else, then you do what you want to do because that's you doing your thing. You think it's you, but we know who's really behind it. But he's saying right here, God put everything the way that he did so it can function properly, effectively, and efficiently. God has set your body up. Make a note, God knows what he's doing. So that's 18. But he's doing a comparison, the analogy. Now he said he set up the body of Christ. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If it was all just one, if we were all one eye or one leg, where would the body be? But now, verse 19, but now are there many members, yet one body? Fingers, toes, everything. 21, that I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We all need each other. Amen? Amen. In verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So even the parts you think you don't need. As God is doing a comparison to the body of Christ, everybody in this assembly is important. Even you can't say that what you do doesn't mean anything, that your church attendance doesn't mean anything, that your smile, your hug, your hello, your words of encouragement, they don't mean anything because I'm not the pastor, I'm not this. Trust me, they mean a lot. Means a lot. We need each other more than we will ever know, especially in days like these. We need your encouragement. We need your love. We need your presence. Then gets to verse 23 and says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. So some you don't think they mean that much, but those are the ones you should be honoring. Like the person who just greets you at the door. Or the person who gives you a hug and says hello. The person just standing there. The person just sitting there. Oh, yes, they do. They mean a lot. Give everybody honor. Don't talk about them. Value them. Is Ivy here today? Is my mic on? Don't talk about each other. Value each other. Don't put anybody down. Build everybody up. Because we're all part of this one body. Think about it. How we need. Have you ever slammed your finger in the door or anything like that? You slam your finger. Your mouth comes to the rescue. Everything's on. Everything tries to help out. Your eyes start watering. Everything tries to make it feel better. Right? If you don't believe me, slam your finger in the door later. Do that science experiment. Let me know how it worked out. But it all comes together. Okay. We all need each other. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. But God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts which are lacked. So it's saying, yeah, the parts that you see all the time, don't focus on how you look. Though, just because you don't judge somebody based on how they look. Don't value them based on how they look. God has set it up, the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts which are lacked, or those that might not be seen. So just because you look good, I can't say that you're godly or that you should be significant. Although I've been in some churches where that's you only speak to people. You can't even touch the pastor. I've seen churches. I shouldn't be talking about other churches, but anyway. But I've seen where the pastor looks better than the first lady. Okay, Jamaica told me to stop, so I got to stop. All right. But this scripture is saying you can't be focused in on how you. That's not the most important thing, how somebody looks. We're all members. And the people who might not look like you, talk like you, smell like you, act like you, they are just as significant as anybody else in the church. Why? Look at verse 25. It kind of brings it home. That there should not be any division or any schisms or any cliques in the body. But that the members should have the same care. One for another. Make sure you highlight that. How you treat the pastor is how you should treat the janitor. How you treat me is how you should treat each other. It shouldn't be any difference. It shouldn't be. I'm not saying that it's not, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be any cliques. Shouldn't be any division. Shouldn't be any schisms within the body, because we're all one body, many members in one body. And we're all significant. God has set us up like that. Now, I'll be nice, Jay. I'll cut it out. God has set it up like that. But we need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. I'm not going to treat you any differently, not treat anybody else. Because God has set you up. And I need you. You might be the finger. You might be the toe. We talked about it last week. Which one do you want to do without? Okay. Which one do you want to do without? John said, and don't give anybody the finger. Okay. All right. You might be the finger or the toe, and don't give nobody the finger either. All right. What are we going to do with John? Lord, help us. Verse 26, and whether one member, I love this, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Somebody's not doing well, none of us are doing well. Somebody's doing great, we're all doing great. We have a section, a time within our Wednesday night Bible study. Okay, all right. Right, okay. Just putting that out there. But in our Wednesday night Bible study from 6:30 to 8, we have a time period called praise reports and our prayer requests. When someone gives a praise report, we all rejoice with that. Amen. We don't start hating on them. Oh, they just wanted to come and brag. Don't come on Wednesday night and just start bragging now. Just be like, you get your promotion and you got your new car and your new job and y'all that you I have a praise report. Man, we ain't seen you in 2 years. We still gonna rejoice with you. It's okay. It's okay. We're not haters in here. We're not haters in here. But we the praise reports and we rejoice and we hear God doing great things. And then we got the prayer requests, and we talk about bereavement, somebody whose family member who's passed away, our friend, and it breaks all of our hearts because we're all one.
Yes.
And when you hurt, I hurt. And when I hurt, you should hurt. Because we're all the same body. We're many different members, but we're all same body. And when we understand that, then we start working together. We function properly to accomplish what God has called us to do, to make disciples and build his kingdom here. But never make the mistake that you are insignificant, or that you don't matter, or because the situations and the circumstances in your life, I couldn't mean anything. I couldn't be helpful to the church. You're helpful by just being a part of the body, by being here. If it was based upon how we lived and what we did, nobody would qualify. We all would just have to leave and say, I can't come back because of. Because we all got the because of and this and that we're dealing with. Remember, that's the difference between the practice and the struggle. We all got struggles that we're dealing with. That's why we need each other. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We're all the body, but we're individual parts of it. Toes, fingers are individual parts, but they're still part of the body. Amen. Would you agree that when you look, this is a part of the body?
Amen.
Amen. When I look at you, you're part of the body.
Amen.
It's no different. We're all the body, but we are members in particular. Verse 28, and God has set some. Underline is God has set some. God has set some. Who set it up? God has set it up. Make a note, God has set it up. So you can't just be who you are in Christ. Don't try and be anybody else, because God has set you right where he wants you to be. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, various or different tongues. So it's in the body, but it's different members. Everybody can't be a teacher who would learn. Unfortunately, everybody can't heal. Somebody got to get sick. That's not a popular message, but in order for somebody to be healed, somebody got to get sick. We all can't walk around being healers. Nobody's sick. It's just so God set it up. So we all have different functions. And some of you are very gifted in administration. We need that. It's nothing worse than somebody trying to be an administrator and don't know what they're doing. Let somebody do that who can do it. That's why God's put us all together. You have those gifts. Amen. Thank God for those who can sing, because everybody can sing. All right. You wouldn't want to hear the pastor sing. I love singing in a group, but gosh, I've heard that when I try and sing individually, it just don't work. That's OK. I get that. That's not my gift. I'm not hating. I'm appreciating. Somebody say amen. But God set it up. Just make a note of that. That God has set it up like that. Why are you fighting against God? God's made who you are. And within the body, God's made who you are. Are all prophets, verse 20, are all teachers, all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Some of us can barely speak our own language. Do all interpret? No. It's okay that we're different in the body. We're not a clique. We're members together, working together for God's purpose, because God has set it up. So this is in the context of the old and the new. So we go from Colossians, it says we're in the body. So in the body, the old is all that other stuff. The new is this, functioning properly together for the purpose that God has called us to make disciples and build his kingdom. But look at verse 31 and how it just transitions. Says, but desire earnestly the best gifts. So And if you can, if you're going to pray, pray for the gift of teaching or the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy. Desire that. But he said, but yet, even in addition to that, let me show you a more excellent way, or actually the best gift. Then it transitions right into Corinthians 13. And so Paul is saying, the way that we treat each other is more important than the spiritual gift that God has given us. He's saying you can have all these gifts. Look at verse 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men. Remember, it's still talking about gifts. He said, you desire the best gifts. Well, let me show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a loud noise. Paul says everything we do has to be done with love. As we shared this last week, and God put on my heart to challenge us to read this every day. I've read it every day from Sunday to Sunday. Because we're challenged to love, then I need to know what love is and what it isn't. And you all know, and thank you for the anniversary. And but this is more than just showing love on one day and a special occasion. This is what you should be doing every day. Don't just show love for somebody on their birthday or their anniversary or just love. This type of love is supersedes all that. This is the real love. You got to live it and love it every day. You got to love regardless. Your love and your life must be real. And this shows us how to do it. You don't get any special powder or dust or potion that shows you how to love like this. You got to practice this stuff every day. I will challenge you to read it again every day this week. I challenge you. You take the challenge to read. It's tough. Shows us how to love as parents, as kids, as husband and wife, as a single person, as a business owner, as a friend. It just shows me how to love all the way around. It was very challenging this week how God spoke to my heart. And look, so God says, read this every day this week, W-E-E-K, so you can stop acting weak, W-E-A-K. Let me say that again. Read this all week so you can stop acting weak. Like you don't know how to show love, like you don't know how to treat your wife, like you don't know how to treat your kids, like you don't know how to treat your parents. Stop acting weak. We already talked about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just can't say that. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? So if God's Spirit is in you, then you can actually live like this. And then I'm reading daily because I have to be reminded how to love, because every day I'm being challenged on how to love. I'm a firm believer that every relationship that God has given us is the opportunity to practice love. I just believe that. That's why it's important to read your word daily so you understand how to love. Anybody in here married? Yep. Anybody ever seen a marriage? Okay. That's God set it up. You got to practice love every day. You got to stop being weak and read this every week. I mean, okay, let's go to my favorite one. Anybody in here have kids? This is you. Anybody ever seen a kid?
There you go.
All right, there you go. Your kids, you got to know how to love them. And it's going to tell us everything that love is, and and the youth. How many of you have parents? Yeah, you should. How many ever seen somebody's parent? Okay. Every relationship we have is the opportunity to practice love. I truly believe that. It's how God set it up. So just examine your relationships, and that's your barometer, that's your gauge, that's your thermometer of how you're practicing love. And just think about, keep a note every day. How was my love barometer today? How was it today? How did I treat my wife? How did I treat my kids? How did I treat my coworkers? How did I treat others? Make a note of it as you read. I'm challenging you. Some will, some won't. SWSWSW. Some will, some won't. Someone's waiting. So what? That's it. Something like that. Something like SWSWSW. Okay. Anyway. So let's break it down. Remember, so let's go to Corinthians 13 and 2. So Paul, remember, he just talked about we're all one body. We all have different gifts. We need each other. And he said, but look at this. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Don't get all caught up in your gift and think that you're something. If you don't have love, you're nothing. Well, how does love look? I'm going to get there. Think about that. I could be the best preacher ever, but if I don't have love to you all, to my family, to my wife, God said, go sit down somewhere. You ain't doing nothing. You're making a lot of noise. How we treat each other is way more important than the gift that you, that God's given you. Verse 3, it even breaks down. Verse 3 is what we do, and then verse 4 is who we is, or who we are. Amen? And y'all heard the joke about the young boy found out that God thought God was black, but he found out he was white? Because when Moses asked God, who shall I say have sent me? And in Exodus 3 and 13, God said, I am that I am. The young boy said, now, you know, if he was black, he would have said, I is that I is. So he said, God must be white. All right. Sister Tari, God would have said, I is that I is. Come on now. He didn't say, I am that I am. So let me get back. Praise the Lord. But verse 3 is talking about what you do. But then verse 4 is talking about who you are. And that's the love. That's the difference. So don't get caught up with what you do. Although we know love is an action, but you could do stuff, but it's not who you are, then the love is really not real. According to the word. You can do stuff, but if it's not who you are, then the love is not really real. Because it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, oh, he must love them. He or she is such a great guy. And though I give my body to be burned, you can sacrifice to the point that you give your body to be burned. And he says you can do it and you could have no love to go with it. And it profits you nothing. You can do all those things, put on a show, and you have no love. It looks like you're loving, but it has no love in it. Only God knows your heart. He says you've done nothing. It has to be more than a show. It has to be real. That's why I meditated on this. I read this every day. And I was like, wow. God, are you kidding me? I started in verse 4. It says, love suffers long. So love is patient and it is kind. It is gentle. It doesn't envy. It's not braggadocious and it's not arrogant. That's not love. Evaluate your relationships. Evaluate you. Compare yourself to this love. Remember working with some students, I was asking them, you know, there's four types of love. And they were saying a mad love and stupid love and crazy love. I know, no. You've been listening to too many songs. This is the godly love right here. It's long suffering. It's patient. It's kind. It's gentle. It's not arrogant. It's not braggadocious. Verse 5. It does not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. It's not after its own self. It's not easily provoked. It takes a long time to get love, man. It doesn't fly off the handle. It's not angry. It's not upset over little stuff. Kind of look overlooked. Oh, that ain't nothing. Don't worry about it. Remember, we talked about it. When my vertical is right with God, then this is always right. But when this isn't right, then the little stuff, because I'm not practicing the godly love, the little stuff gets on my nerve. The little stuff bothers me. You tripping. Why? Because I'm tripping, because I'm not lined up with the love. Has nothing to do with you all or my spouse or my kids. It's with me and my vertical with God. It's not easy provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't keep track of evil. It doesn't have a little tally where it tallies up everything you've done, and watch and see. Next time we talk, I'm going to tell you this, and then you did this. On Monday you did that. Tuesday, love don't do that. It's not keeping score. It's not competitive. It's not me against you. It's us working together. Verse 6, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity or sin, but it rejoices in the truth, the word of God. And then 7, it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures. Endure, that word endure, it means to patiently suffer. It means to remain, like when Christ remained on that cross because of love. He endured all things. Verse 8, and let's wrap this up. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All that other stuff, God is saying, only the true godly loves. I'm challenging us, I'm challenging you and me to read this daily along with your Proverbs. Take 5 minutes, that's all it takes, and let God speak to your heart. And then go treat people with this type of love. To change your life. So here we go. Verse 11. Look at verse 11, because love is mature. Everybody wants to be grown. This is a real grown love. You're not really grown until you can love like this, is what Paul is saying. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as when I was a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, the new man, the new woman, I put childish things away. Everybody want to be grown, but nobody. This is real mature love right here. And let's go down. Let's finish up with verse 13. And now abides faith. Don't get me wrong. Faith and hope is huge. Somebody say amen. We got to believe and we got to know that God has it worked out. Those are huge. He said, abides these three, faith, hope, and charity. It says, but of all of these is love. All the gifts, everything you can desire. God says, practice this type of love. It's a new man as a new woman. Putting on, remember, put it on. Wear this type of love. Since we're being challenged to love daily, I'm challenging us to read daily. Natalie, take us back to Colossians 3:15. And the greatest of these is love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called into one body. We got it. We understand what he's saying, that we're one body. We got that. Amen. And then he says, and be ye thankful. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. So if you would just bow your heads and we'll go ahead and close out service. So, Lord, wow, the love challenge, amen. To love the way that you've called us to love each other, to love our spouses, to love our co-workers, not to be arrogant, not to be rude, not to keep tabs or keep an account, to be patient, to show the love of Christ, just like you showed toward us. So, Lord, thank you for the challenge. as you want us to take off the old and put on the new. And there's no way we can put on the new. We could do all this other stuff. But if it doesn't come with genuine love for the people of God and for the people that God created, then God said, we need to stop because we're doing nothing. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you for the challenge because we want to be better. We want to do better. We want to edify each other, build each other up. We don't want any cliques and schisms and division. We're trying to do this thing together. We want our body to function properly. We want to use our gifts to build the kingdom. We thank you for the challenge, Lord. We embrace it. It's not business as usual. As this world is falling apart, it needs those that are truly loving to be the example. What a time to be a Christian, to share love, to show love, to be patient, to be long-suffering with all those that God would allow to cross our paths. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you for the challenge to be members and to be loving, to put on the old and take off the new. So, Lord, I want to pray really quickly. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, my first step is to come into the body. And the only way to come into the body is to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I've never done that. And this morning I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I need to get back on track. I haven't even been liking people. But I see God has challenged me to love differently. I need to rededicate my life. It's not the people, it's my vertical with God that's off. So I need to get that right this morning. So I want to rededicate. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life, rededicate your walk. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't joined. I've been looking for a place where the love of God is, the presence of God, the people of God. I want to join this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you on today. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you that you didn't come to condemn the world, that the world through you might be saved. All we can call it is your grace, how you've graced us, how you favored us. Even when we don't feel like we've been graced and favored, you have. Let us take nothing for granted, Lord. Give us traveling graces. Give us journey mercies. So we leave this place, but not your presence. We love you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed. If I could quickly see the Jimenez family and the Porter family right here. And board members, remember we have a quick board meeting today. Good to see you. Well, no, I'm going to have a couple of meetings, but I'm going to talk to you before then. Okay.